streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse, Giannis, The Marvelous Journey, and the National Women's Soccer League, all included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on, or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. It's all your favorite content in one place. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/AmazonPrime for details.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
Here we go on a Monday. Oh, the news just keeps getting better. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening, iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and Joy Taylor, 1 hour from now, Colin Wright, Colin Wrong, plenty of both, and the new Notre Dame coach, Marcus Freeman. Oh, Mario Cristobal is the new coach for the Miami Hurricanes. So, Miami and USC, this is something I've been saying for years. College football, it's okay if it's got 10% glamour, because 90% of it's small-town America.
Right.
It's okay for 10% of college football to be Texas is a glamour program, Miami's a glamour program, USC's a glamour program. You can have both. It's okay. Don't be scared. Miami, Mario Cristobal, great hire. Congratulations.
I feel like you spoke this into existence, Colin. You're like LeVar Ball. You gotta speak some more things over my life.
I told USC, I said, please just swing big. Just swing
you did,
big.
You did, but that's what you have to do when you're USC and you're Miami.
And it's you're
and
in
it
big,
paid off.
You're pro sports markets, right? Yep. Like you people are distracted. Don't hire some guy from Akron and think it's going to be big. All right, I want to start with the NFL. So when Patrick Mahomes entered the league, people freaked out. And not that I was a cynic, but even Mahomes' family, I was told, said, you know, Coward's the last guy to join the party on Mahomes. And Patrick's a great kid, and I'm rooting for him, and he's got a Super Bowl, and he'll probably win another. But the media needs a new story, and the media loves cool and new because it's more fun to write about. So the left-handed passes and the sidearm throws and, Tom Brady doesn't do those. And neither does Justin Herbert. And right now, Justin Herbert's the best quarterback in that division, not Patrick Mahomes. Have you watched the last 2 months what's happening? I like Mahomes. But the media goes crazy on new and fun and exciting, and that's not what wins. Tonight, the two best teams arguably in the AFC, boring New England and Buffalo in a snowstorm, will play. And boring New England's the hottest team in the league. And the Miami Dolphins and Washington, playing great defense with B-minus quarterbacks, they're winning. What's not winning right now, what's not blowing everybody away, is Kansas City's offense. Great coach, really good line, great weapons, and Patrick Mahomes is struggling. He has had one good game in 2 months. I love him. He'll be fine. He'll figure it out. He's coachable. He's a good kid. But when guys like me rolled our eyes at the left-handed passes, it's one pass in a four-hour game, or the sidearm stuff. Like, he's lost his mechanics. He's broken right now. Now, thank God the Kansas City defense is fantastic. Chris Jones is unblockable. They deserve all the credit. But Mahomes, for the first time ever, no touchdown passes, back-to-back games. In the last 8 games, he's played poorly in 7. In the last 5, 4 of the 5, he's had a passer rating under 75. And by the way, this is what the scouts, believe it or not, scouts know more about this stuff than you and I did. This is what they said out of college. I'll read you a quote from Lance Zierlein. He's the one radio host in America who I believe in when it comes to scouting. He knows his stuff. He said on Mahomes, he doesn't have a very repeatable process as a passer. What does that mean? That's the opposite of Brady. That's why Brady just works on mechanics over and over. It's repeatable and repeatable. And Mahomes, everything looks different. Every pass looks different. And now his mechanics are in the toilet, and he's either broken and will need an off season to get it right. That's my guess. Or he'll get it right in the next 2 or 3 weeks. He's coachable. He knows he's struggling. And Kansas City will be fine. But, you know, just know going in that the media falls for new, fun, and flashy. And by the way, we all do. It's fun. Like, right? Like, new talent. But if you look at right now what's working in quarterback play, Brady's going to win the MVP. Now, Lamar Jackson's more fun to watch, and Mahomes is more fun to watch, and Josh Allen's more fun to watch. I love watching Josh Allen way more than Mac Jones tonight. But uncool and repeatable and kind of boring, it wins in this league. We all want a new Georgia. Alabama won. We all want a new AFC Titan. New England's the hottest team. We all want this guy as an MVP. Brady's going to win it. Mahomes, at least, this is why I think Mahomes will be fine. He's not cocky. He's totally coachable. He's super talented. He's a great kid, but he's got to go back to being boring and the basics. His mechanics are in the toilet, and he talked about it after.
Obviously, we feel like we're not playing our best football. We have spurts where we're really good, and then we have spurts where we kind of have these, we're not scoring. We're not finding ways to finish drives. So definitely as a competitor, you want to be better. But I think you win football games, at the end of the day. And so for us, if we keep winning football games, defense keeps playing the way that they're playing. When the offense, we really become who we know we can be, we'll be a hard football team to beat.
But the problem is their identity, their core identity is offense. They're not running the football. Now they're not passing it well. So when you go into the playoffs, New England's got an identity. Miami and Washington now may not even make the playoffs. They've got an identity. Okay, Buffalo's got an identity. So the problem right now with Kansas City, their core identity is big plays. So they're not running the ball, but that never mattered when they were a big play offense. And now they're not. 16 points against Denver last night. In fact, Andy Reid at one point in the fourth quarter, 4th and 2, kicked a field goal. The fans booed. That tells you right now they are not confident in the side of the ball that we all thought was going to win 6 Super Bowls. Boring's okay, too. You can win being boring, especially in December. All right, let me did you guys hear Mario Cristobal's coaching Miami? I'm sorry. Lincoln Riley got the USC job. I'm just being obnoxious now. Okay, I want to talk about the Steelers-Ravens. And so it was a fantastic game. The late window was crazy. Baltimore-Pittsburgh was uneven. It was kind of messy, but I found it fascinating. And there was a lot of criticism in the end because Baltimore went for 2 and they've got the world's best field goal kicker. And they are the better team. Baltimore's better than Pittsburgh. So if you have the better team and you got the world's best field goal kicker, then you should just kick the extra point and go to overtime. But let me just add this while I'll defend Baltimore on that. Because when you build a business, and that's all football is, it's just, even college football now, most of you are finally acknowledging what those of us who knew it years ago, it's a business. Joey and I have been saying this for years. It's a business. Get over it. NFL and college are the same business. Just one, you have to go to class occasionally. But here's why I'll defend Baltimore. It's very consistent with their business model. This is what they do. This is what Baltimore does. The Chargers and the Ravens are go for it on fourth down teams. Second part of this, Big Ben was playing his butt off. Deontay Johnson, the wide receiver for the Steelers, was uncoverable, and the Ravens were falling apart. And so the way to lose locker rooms in the NFL is confusion. And players start questioning the coach. Nobody in that Baltimore locker room this morning is questioning John Harbaugh or Lamar Jackson. This is their brand. The Dallas Cowboys, y'all get beside yourself because Mike McCarthy, field goal, go for it, field goal, go for it. Aren't you always criticizing the Cowboys? Because you never know what they are. You always know what the Ravens are. With Lamar Jackson and John Harbaugh, they're into analytics and they go for it. Football is a business. And how you run your business, here's what never happens in Baltimore. They never lose a locker room. Good, bad, or indifferent, the Ravens never lose a locker room. Ever. Because they all know this is what we do. We're not passive. You know, like the UFC. The UFC is Dana White, full of testosterone. For everything. They push back, they yell, they scream, they attack the media. But that's their business model. If Dana White suddenly became politically correct and, oh, you know, we're not going to do that because the media is after us. Everybody at UFC would be like, wait a minute. That's not your business model. Ravens are aggressive. They always have been. They've always had a great owner. They've always had a great front office. They never lose the locker room, and they went for it. Yes, they've got the world's best kicker. But that would just get you to overtime on the road against a hot quarterback and unguardable Deontay Johnson. And as John Harbaugh said after, we were running out of players. John Harbaugh. After.
Tried to win the game right there. We were pretty much out of corners, you know, at that point in time. So it was an opportunity to try to win the game right there.
No. It did not. You know, they aggressively play analytics. And so, you know, from that standpoint, they're predictable.
Yeah, but that's okay. You need to be somewhat predictable inside your own business, inside the walls of your locker room. You know, Dave Wannstedt used to always say, you can lose games, you can't lose a locker room. You can't lose a locker room. Chicago, Dalton, Justin Fields, kind of feels like they're losing a locker room, right? Like when well, the young guys like that guy and the old guys like that guy. 49ers are like, hey, Jimmy Garoppolo, that's who we're starting this year. You don't lose the locker room. And so I'll defend Baltimore. You can, and by the way, you know, everybody had the play worked, and it was half a football from being complete for a touchdown. It was about 4 or 5 inches. Mark Andrews, great tight end. This is about 4 to 5 inches from winning the game. None of you would have said a word. None of you would have had the courage to go on Twitter and say, what a terrible decision. So I'm not going to give you the audience and the platform to bang on him when it didn't work. It was completely true to their core values as a franchise, win or lose.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we got to give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests we're going to be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the craziest surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I like my quarterbacks in 2021 to have some ability to be mobile. If you look at the way the rule changes are, I like my quarterbacks to have some wiggle. When Russell Wilson broke into this league 7 or 8 years ago, I'm like, this is, he's unique. He's an outlier. Well, now he doesn't necessarily feel like an outlier, right? Like a lot of guys move. But it's interesting to note this. Jalen Hurts moves around a lot. He's hurt. Lamar Jackson moves around a lot. He's regressed. Kyler Murray runs around a lot. He's not at 100%. Second year in a row, he was hurt. Justin Fields, very athletic, hurt. You know who's not? Tom Brady, who should be the MVP. Number one in touchdown passes, number one in passing yards, number one. He averages, only quarterback to average over 300 yards a game, only team to average over 30 points. Is that I like my quarterbacks to be able to move. And Brady's so good at the line of scrimmage. He moves very well inside the pocket, but he doesn't, and that's okay. But I hope we're all paying attention to all the guys moving are hurt or regressing. Mahomes, a little bit of a mover, regressing. Lamar, regressing. Jalen Hurts, hurt. Justin Fields, hurt. Kyler Murray, hurt again. And so, you know, let's be honest, too. December football is different. The longest winning streak in this league right now are New England, Miami, Washington, and Kansas City. And the story with all of them is defense. So December football, the NFL added a game. Okay, that's another game. That's another 10 or 12 hits on the body. So, you know, as much as we all love a quarterback that can move, Brady is the runaway MVP. Kyler Murray, had he stayed healthy, would have won my vote. But you start looking around right now, and it's okay if the quarterback moves. But Bryce Young for Alabama is a thrower. Tom Brady is a thrower. Justin Herbert, healthy, is a thrower. And the defenses now and the pocket quarterbacks are once again in December making their presence felt. Here was Gronk after Tampa's big win over Atlanta.
I mean, we go way back, back in the heyday with that connection. I mean, we've been working on that since, you know, 2010 together. And it definitely, you know, paid off there. And I would say that second touchdown definitely brought it back to the heyday with the fade. He gave me an audible, and I wasn't supposed to have a fade, but he saw it, and just reminds me of the heydays with us.
You know, it's interesting. Gronk there almost gave you the signal. Do you see that? He put his hand up. He audibled me, and then he pulled his hand down because Tom has some physical cue, and Gronk almost gave it away there. But it is interesting. If you look at December, weather is colder. Late summer football, September, does not look like December. It's why I said about the Cowboys on Thursday. They won by 10 on the road against a really good defense. That's okay. Don't get too picky. I don't care who you play. Your quarterback's healthy. You're playing good defense. Miami right now, two is healthy, playing good defense. Quarterback's healthy. You're playing defense. You're running the football a little. You feel like now, you may be inartistic. It's not pretty, but you feel like a playoff team to me.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's me, three-time Pro Bowler LeVar Arrington, and I couldn't be more excited to announce a new podcast called Up On Game. What is Up On Game, you ask? Along with my fellow Pro Bowler TJ Hushmanzada and Super Bowl champion, yep, that's right, Plexico Burress. You can only name a show with that type of talent on it, Up On Game. We're going to be sharing our real-life experiences loaded with teachable moments. Listen to Up On Game with me, LeVar Arrington, TJ Hushmanzada, and Plexico Burress on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts from.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL Draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Well, I grew up in a small town. So when you grow up in a small town, you have to leave it if you have dreams. And Joe Burrow and Justin Herbert grew up in small towns. And Justin Burrow's route was he had to go to Ohio State and they had transfer and didn't have a very good first year. And they had an amazing second year. And then Justin Herbert grew up right next to the University of Oregon, small town, right down the street. And that's the school he wanted to go to. And he played. And we didn't talk much about Justin Herbert. And nobody believed in him. I had so much fun yesterday. These guys are so kid next door quality. I had so much fun watching this game. They're really old school quarterbacks. They really are. They love to throw from the pocket. They're from small towns. Yesterday, Herbert got the better of Joe Burrow. They're both going to have wonderful careers. They both would prefer to throw from the pocket, but they like to sling it. They like to sit back there and air it out. They both take big risks. Neither is afraid to go deep. Neither is afraid to throw it up for grabs. And yesterday, the Chargers won all the jump balls. But there's a soft spot for here. And, you know, these are great stories that Joe Burrow had to transfer to get to the NFL. Everybody had questions about Justin Herbert. And I'm sitting there watching these two. Herbert's 6'5" huge arm, a little more mechanical than Joe Burrow, who's got a little Tony Romo quality, runs around, a little bit of a gamer, a little bit of a playmaker. But boy, the AFC, tonight you'll see Josh Allen and Mac Jones. And we know there's Lamar Jackson and Mahomes. They've regressed a little bit. They'll be fine. But you start looking at that AFC. The NFC's got a lot of older quarterbacks, right? Like, yeah, a lot of old guys. But I'm telling you, I sat here and watched this thing, and I'm like, if they play for the next 10 years, those guys are going to be in so many great shootouts and so many big games, and they both had completely different routes, but they're both small-town kids who had, you know, really good support systems eventually and found their way to the NFL. But it had a real old-school quality, just guys dropping back, slinging it. In fact, let's see, Herbert threw it 35 times. Joe Burrow threw it 40 times. And both had quarterback ratings decent. Let's see. Herbert went 26 of 35. Burrow went 24 of 40. And in fairness to Burrow, I still contend that's a little bit of a rebuild. Cincinnati right now would be a playoff team. Chargers have a better roster than Cincinnati. They do right now currently. Chargers probably going to go out and get a right tackle, an interior defensive lineman, but that's a real playoff roster. Joe Burrow's doing a lot of pulling on this roster. They got some nice pieces, but yesterday they couldn't run the football. So a lot of it's, Joe, you got to throw the ball 40 times. And that's a tough ask.
He also really hurt his hand.
Yes. I mean, what you're seeing with both these guys, they're not quite refined, polished products. Burrow's had more injuries. They both make really bad throws. Both of them, but both have a short memory. You know, they both come right back. I find them incredibly, humble's the wrong word because they're both confident, but they're incredible.
Well, I was going to say they have a youthful confidence about them.
That's a good way to put it. They really believe in themselves.
Yes.
And a lot of people have doubted them, and they just love to sit there and throw the football. No dink and dunk here. There's no dink and dunk. These boys want to throw it downtown, and I just loved watching it. So much fun.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like. Where Colin was right.
Well, the Blazing Five almost went 4-0 yesterday. We have the Bills tonight. But we called the upset by the Chargers over the Bengals. We called the Steelers upset over the Ravens. And we called the Eagles blowing out the Jets. Denver, until that pick six, had them covered. And I will tell you again, I have the Bills -2.5 tonight. Winning, not comfortably, but winning.
Where Colin was wrong.
I got to give Tua credit. I was a doubter. I didn't think he was athletic enough. But he is Mac Jones, left-handed Mac Jones. He's accurate. And he doesn't make a lot of mistakes. And he knows what he is. And he knows what he isn't. And Miami is sort of a poor man's New England. They play good defense. They play the field position game. And I should say, Miami's got Gesicki's a great tight end, and now they've got some speed on the perimeter. But he's very much Mac Jones. Last four games, he's completing 78% of his throws. That is literally like scrimmage numbers. That's like 7-on-7 summer camp numbers with 109 passer rating since returning from the injury. So he deserves credit. He knows what he is, and he knows what he isn't. And what he is wildly accurate.
Where Colin was right?
I had my doubts on Robert Saleh with the Jets. I said he's a great story, good-looking guy, good energy. I don't know if he can coach. Their defense is regressing. They're the only defense, they're last in total defense, the only team that surrenders 30 a game. They just gave up to a backup quarterback 33 points. Zach Wilson had a pretty good game, but he still has too many turnovers. Listen, the Eagles scored on their first seven possessions. That is not good. Okay, Philadelphia, with a backup quarterback, scrambling to get a quarterback, scores in your first seven possessions. Don't confuse a great story and a great guy with a great coach. I had my doubts. I said he would be the fourth best coach in the division for some time, and it looks the case.
Where Colin was wrong.
I said all season, I watched Georgia play a half dozen times. I thought that was the best college defense I'd seen in a decade, and Bryce Young ate it alive. 421 yards passing, three touchdowns, a running touchdown. Georgia got pressure against every quarterback, and Alabama's off. Look at that offensive line. Look at that protection. Bryce Young, 536 total yards from Alabama. Listen, I thought this game could go a lot of ways. I didn't think it would look like this. Alabama marching up and down the field. Bryce Young with more than ample time to throw and picking apart the Bulldog secondary.
Where Colin was right.
I really like the Chicago Bulls moves in the offseason. They went and got a bunch of guys with a chip on their shoulder. They went and got the always underrated Alex Caruso, the forgotten DeMar DeRozan who doesn't shoot threes, the improving Lonzo Ball, who because he struggled in L.A., everybody gave up on him. He's a really good player the last year and a half. And Billy Donovan, the coach, I know he got fired. He's a great college coach. I think Billy Donovan's an excellent coach, especially with young players. And right now, the Bulls, playing with a ton of energy, are second in the East. I don't know what their ceiling is, but they got a bunch of guys who everybody's doubted and nobody appreciated. And when you play hard in the regular season, the Knicks showed us this last year. There may be a ceiling on this team. They're fun to watch, and they've got a bunch of B guys playing with incredible passion. Fun to see.
Where Colin was wrong.
A few weeks ago, I said the Minnesota Vikings feel like a playoff team to me. And the minute I said that, they lost two straight, including losing to the Lions. Mike Zimmer's a really good coach, but they have too good a personnel to struggle this often. And I don't know if it's a disconnect with Zimmer and Kirk Cousins. I'm happy for the Lions. I really am. But that final drive, Jared Goff moved right down the field. And Zimmer's kind of he's a tough guy, a little crusty. You know, he may not have a locker room fight for him if it gets down to a vote of the players. I do think he's an excellent coach and can stay in this league. But it may be time in Minnesota to move on.
Where Colin was right.
Lincoln Riley's coming to California. If I have to say this another time, nobody likes California, the taxes, the politics. It's funny, but great executives and great coaches and great athletes, despite our tax rate and politics, keep moving to California. Why? Because great people in any field like to be challenged. They want to be challenged. They're not sitting there looking at the tax code or they're worrying about liberal politics. Lincoln Riley is aspirational and willful, and he wants to be challenged. And USC football, it needs about 25 more great players to compete with Alabama. So stop with this constant sort of Republican narrative that nobody wants to live in California. Lots of great people do. Great people live all over this country. Most people who are great are not consumed with a tax rate. They don't love it. They're not consumed by it.
Where Colin was wrong.
I got to give it up to the Philadelphia Eagles. They're in the playoff picture. I thought Nick Sirianni wasn't ready to be a head coach. I had my doubt about Jalen Hurts. Good God, they can even win with a backup quarterback. They are the number one running team in football. They're a great example of they have a core identity. They run the football. They throw to their tight ends. They're not fancy. The Eagles know exactly what they are. And this is what we talk about all the time. So much of this sport, that's why you got to be careful about bringing in superstars and outsiders. What are you? The Eagles are the number one rushing team. They may not be the fanciest passing team, but to go to a backup quarterback and drop over 30 points, and they just pound the football, very impressive. I had them as a dead last team, 3 or 4 wins. They've blown. I want to see them in the playoffs now. I think they're a nightmare to face. If you're not ready for their physicality, you're in big trouble. They're going to go in with house money, be a total underdog. I love what I see. And finally,
where Colin was right.
My NFL predictions, 6 of the 7 NFC playoff teams that we be in today, we picked. And 5 of the 7 AFC playoff teams that we picked would be in. By the way, the Colts still, and the Browns, still have a chance to get in. Still have a chance. So we've been good so far.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
College football is one of my, you know, I have loved it forever. And I thought it was really fascinating, all these new coaching hires. So some programs, like USC, went and got an established head coach. And some programs, like Oklahoma, went and got a legendary coordinator from another school. And then LSU said, hey, that guy rebuilt Notre Dame. We're going to take him. And then Notre Dame said, you know what? We like our guy. And we're going to give our guy a cooler office. And Marcus Freeman, a very young man, is now the coach of one of the great brands in America. He's joining us live, the new Notre Dame football coach. Man, I got to tell you something, Marcus. I look at you and your family and how young you are, and I think to myself, I thought I was driven. You make me look like a failure. You're a 35-year-old guy. You're a young guy. You're the coach of Notre Dame. When you wake up in the morning, is there a little bit of, my dream came true? Oh, my word, my dream came true.
I have those moments, for sure. You know, there's times I'm in my office or times I'm doing something. I'm like, man, I'm the head coach of the University of Notre Dame. But they keep me pretty busy here, so I don't have much time to think about that, but I do have those moments.
Now, Marcus, I've heard your great energy, real focus. We've seen the videos. The players love you. Notre Dame is not typical, Marcus. They ask a lot of coaches. Brian Kelly once told me, he said, it's not a 20-year job. You have to have the right personality. This is a harder job than other places. Any concern about this is maybe the toughest first job place in the country?
Yeah. You know, I love challenges. You know, that's something that I've always embraced, maybe a little bit of my upbringing. But, you know, what a great challenge. What a great opportunity. You're the head coach at the University of Notre Dame. You get a chance to live a lifelong dream. This is something that this is a destination, you know, for a lot of people. And so I'm just going to take it day by day. And when you think about the challenge in terms of how big it is, I think it can get overwhelming. But when you think about it, taking it task by task, day by day, I'm excited to get after it.
It's great. So you were a player. You got drafted years ago by Chicago Bears. And then you went to work. Okay, you went to Kent State and Purdue, and nobody knew who. Where did Marcus Freeman go? What happened to Marcus Freeman? And you're sitting there grinding every day. Was your goal always head coach college? Did you think about coaching pro? Go back 6, 7 years. Was this the goal? A head college coach at a big brand?
I think at some point you sit there and say, hey, man, I want to be at the highest level of my occupation. And if I could have said I would be the head coach at Notre Dame at 35, you know, it would have been, there's no way. But, you know, I think the ability to just attack every day and attack each task one by one, you never know what's going to happen. And that's the same way I'm going to lead, is I'm going to lead these guys. Hey, let's not worry about national champions. Let's not worry about the bowl game. Let's worry about attacking every day with a fierce intensity, and we'll see what comes of it.
You know, Brian Kelly said about a month ago, somebody asked him about something and he brought you up, and he said, the way he inferred it was like, listen, Marcus is going to be the coach here. You guys got to figure this out. And I defended Brian. I said, listen, he's 60 years old. He's rebuilt the program. He's looking at it thinking, hey, next time I play Alabama, I want to be right in Nick's backyard. I want to have 25 NFL guys. So I got it. I understand it. I've been a mobile guy too. Were you shocked when you heard Brian was leaving? Were you shocked?
Yeah. When he called me and told me, hey, I'm going to take the job as a head coach at LSU, I was in complete shock. I did not see this coming at all. And my mind started racing, and he said, hey, I want you to be my defensive coordinator. And I said, okay. I said, but I need to ask my wife. And so from that point, that drive from where I was at recruiting to home, and it all became crazy. But to say I'm not surprised he decided to go to LSU, that would be a lie.
By the way, when Notre Dame contacted you, Marcus, for the first time, when was the first moment you thought, okay, I'm going to be considered for this job?
Probably when the athletic director called me and said, hey, are you really interested in being the next head coach at Notre Dame? And I said, absolutely. And he said, okay, well, we'll meet tomorrow. And it kind of was like, oh, man, this might really happen. You know, and it never was definite until I got the call that, hey, we're offering you this job. But you saw it slowly starting to happen. You know, you saw it with the people that were calling you and the phone calls that you had to take from certain people that are, you know, connected with this university. And so, but until you finally got that call from Jack Schwarber saying, hey, we want you to be our next head coach, I think there was always a little bit of doubt, like, hey, hold on, are they really going to do this?
Yeah. 35 years old. I think I told Joy this the other day. I said, listen, Sean McVay was coaching at 32. Kiffin was a kid. My kids are way smarter than I was at 15, 16 years old. The world is your guy's oyster, man. The idea that you can go to Google Maps and I can literally go to your neighborhood, I'm like, there's so many tools out there for curious minds. So I don't even think about your age as an issue. It's like, you got experience. You bounced around the country like everybody else. For those that would say, boy, Marcus, 35 years old, boy, that's really young. How would you counter that?
Well, I've been in leadership roles for the last probably five, six, really you can say your entire coaching career. When you start coaching a position, you have to take a leadership role and understand that, hey, there's certain attributes that it takes to have success. And then all of a sudden you go to Cincinnati, you're the defensive coordinator. Well, you're the leader of the defense. And, you know, for me, I had a little bit of a comfort with our head coach being that he was my position coach in college. And then all of a sudden I get to Notre Dame and Coach Kelly is you are the head coach of the defense. You run it. And I'm going to do the same thing as a 35-year-old head coach of this entire football program. I lead with my heart and I lead as a teammate. You know, I have to lean on our staff. I'm going to have to lean on our leaderships. I'm going to have to be able to admit there's things I don't know about running the University of Notre Dame football program. But if you go every day and you go work tirelessly and you understand that, hey, you're going to need help doing this, I think you can have success because that's what I've done.
Well, you know, I didn't see any of your players decommitting. Notre Dame's a really, really special place. And I don't know when you were told you were the coach. I don't know if it was a phone call or whatever. What a glorious moment for you and your family. Did you get emotional when they said, it's yours, buddy?
Yeah. It was a shock to realize that this is really happening. And I was actually in my kids' room, my two daughters, I was in their room and I was on the phone and I'm in shorts and a T-shirt. And I'm like, if they could only see me right now, like I'm just walking back and forth in disbelief. But you know what? Quickly, I said, oh, shoot, it's time to get to work. You know, let's celebrate tonight with my wife and kids. We couldn't tell anybody, which is great. So we just had to keep it to ourselves. And then my mind started racing about what do I have to do to make sure that I'm prepared, that we're prepared as a team, and that's what I did.
Well, I hear great things. I've followed this sport forever, and my people say two things. Egoless, focused, great energy. Everybody thinks you're a home run, and I could not be happier for you. I've always loved the brand. Congratulations to your beautiful family. You should go look at Marcus Freeman's family on the internet. It's everywhere. That's the downside, I guess, to being a football coach at Notre Dame. Everybody knows your family, but genuinely happy for you, man. Kick butt, take names, and congrats.
Thanks, Colin, man. It's been a pleasure.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
There's five rebuilding teams in the NFL. The Giants, the Jets, Houston, Jacksonville, and Detroit. But the Lions feel different. I mean, the Giants may need to clean house totally, although I would keep Joe Judge. The Jets, I don't know if they have the right coach. Jacksonville needs everything except maybe a quarterback and some defensive linemen, and Houston needs everything. The Lions are different. They've got a quarterback who got to the Super Bowl, and when he has time to throw, he throws a beautiful ball. Jared Goff. Five of their 10 losses are one-possession games. They outplayed the Ravens, should have won. They outplayed the Steelers, should have won. And this team likes their head coach. Many of their young players from this draft and last year's draft are playing. They're good players. Again, Jared Goff is capable of winning games if you give him time to throw. And the other thing is they play hard. They love their coach. They play really hard. There's never been quit. Now, there have been matchups that don't play well. But yesterday, final drive against Minnesota came down to this play, and here it is.
First victory of the year on the line. Goff's got it. Back, looks, throws, ends up. Yes! Caught! Touchdown, Detroit Lions! They did it! Amon-Ra St. Brown in the receiving end! Oh, they're rushing the field! They've done it! Three zeros on the clock. This game is over. It's over!
So they have two first-round picks, including potentially the number one pick. So the Michigan kid, the pass rusher, could be the number one pick. Aiden Hutchinson, Michigan pass rusher, little J.J. Watt. They need a pass rusher. Everybody in the league does. That could be your first pick. Now, I generally am a believer, trade down if you can, because I don't think there's any guarantees. The only guarantee in this draft to me is the center for Iowa. That's it. That kid is going to be a Pro Bowler for a long time. Outside of that, 30% of the first round busts. But you have a local kid. He's a pass rusher. Everybody needs him. It's a valuable position. Michigan kid for the Lions. Your later pick is deep in the first round, about 24th. And by the way, you've got some receivers that are okay. There's probably, it's a very good year for some interior offensive linemen. It's a pretty interesting year for cornerbacks. You could use one of those. So I don't think they're lost. I think they've got a coach the team believes in, the young players the last 2 years. Penei Sewell's the second highest graded rookie tackle in football. He's been good. They moved him around. He's good. Brown, the receiver from USC, the fourth round pick, had like 14 targets yesterday, the winning catch, 10 catches. So I think quarterback coach, you're good for a couple years. But I find them different. I find that they're a unified bad team. There's questions about Houston's leadership. There's questions about the Giants and the Jets. I just think this team needs more good players. That's what I think with Detroit. They just need more good players. They need a sustained pass rush. They got to keep upgrading the interior of their own line, and they'll be fine. The other thing is college football's got a lot of programs, but there's three what I would call glamour programs. USC in downtown LA, Miami in Coral Gables, and Texas. They've often been exceptional, and all of them over the last couple years feel like they're on the precipice of being terrible forever. USC went and spent over $100 million and got a great young progressive coach, Lincoln Riley. Texas went and got an offensive coach, Steve Sarkisian. And Miami capped it off. I'm in a very good mood today by getting Mario Cristobal. Every coach except Nick Saban has a hole. Cristobal's knock, he doesn't develop quarterbacks particularly well, but he's got a presence. He can recruit. He's an alpha. He walks into a room. He sleeps about 4.5 hours a night. He's from Miami. He's the perfect fit culturally, emotionally. He's a perfect fit. This is not a knock at Oregon, but they always find the right coach. They've got Phil Knight's money. They got a good basketball coach. They've had multiple good football coaches. There's a rumor Chip Kelly, UCLA boosters are nuts if they think Chip Kelly is not doing a good job. He just doesn't like to recruit and talk to boosters. But Cristobal is a very, very good fit. And, you know, I know there's this thing in America, eat the rich, tax the rich. But what you've really seen with college football is there's a very tiny pool in every profession in America of great. There's a very, very tiny, tiny, tiny pool. It doesn't matter if it's finance, if it's education, if it's college football. And Mario Cristobal's in that class. He won a Rose Bowl. He won two titles in 5 years. The program was a bit of a wobbly mess. He took it over. He's got a presence. He reminds me a little of Dana White. Like, you just don't get in his way. He's just going to forge his way, big personality, all man, alpha, recruit, territorial, this is my team. And, you know, is he a great developer of quarterbacks? Everybody's got a hole. Everybody. So, but I've said this before. College football, we always complain about college football and parity. Can I ask you a question? Where do we have parity? Do we have it in European soccer? No, the English Premier League. It's the same three, four clubs. Do we have it in Spain, Real Madrid, Barcelona? No. Do we have it in women's tennis? No, Serena dominated for 20 years. Do we have it in men's tennis? No, it's been Fidel and Roger. And it's been Djokovic. It's been Roger Federer and Nadal. Do we have it in college football? No. For 15, 20 years, do we have it in women's basketball, UConn? No. Do we have it in the NFL? No. Brady's good again. The Patriots are good again. The Packers are still good. You got to get over it. You got to get over it. There's a tiny, tiny group of people, men and women in all of sports. All these leagues, NCAA has been trying forever to make it even. It doesn't exist. The South has more great high school football players than the West. And if you get the right coach in the South, you're going to win a bunch of games. Georgia's got the right coach, and Alabama's got the right coach, and LSU now thinks they have the right coach. You can win a national title at LSU with the wrong coach. They've done it twice in five, 6 years. Can't do that in any other conference. If Michigan's got the wrong coach, Brady Hoke, you don't win games. So we're all trying to legislate even constantly. And there are just programs in college football that matter more. USC matters more. Texas matters more. And Miami matters more. They're big. They're glamorous. Television networks are dying for Texas, Miami, and USC to be good. They got all they can do with rural programs. They want big cities. They want Dallas watching the Horns, Miami and Fort Lauderdale watching the Canes, and LA and California watching the Trojans. We got a million small city programs. That's great. It's okay to, you look, as Joy said, it's okay to bring caviar out. You don't have caviar for dinner. If the whole sport was New York or LA, that's not good. But having 5 to 10% of the big city programs, they bring big audiences. With big audiences, the networks fight over them. It's good for everybody. We all get more games. So, way to go, Miami. I was a cynic, too, by the way. I didn't think they'd pull it off. I didn't. I've been saying this for years. I think they've fallen into a Tier 2 program. But you get the alpha, boom, back to a Tier 1. All about the U.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL Draft.
That's right. We will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and surprises.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year.
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.